Welcome to People Helping People, the podcast for social entrepreneurs who want to build a social impact business. I'm your host, Adam Morris, and today I'm sitting in the same room with Alexandra Brankov, founder of Cafelia, your sustainable local coffee club. She's been transforming the coffee scene up in Cleveland, and I'm super excited to share her story and upcoming launch in Columbus, Ohio. So, Alexandra, welcome on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Adam. Great to be here.
Yeah. Can we start off? Can you just tell us a little bit about what Cafelia is?
Sure. So Cafelia is basically like a subscription to local coffee shops, or like a local coffee shop membership. A coffee lover, they go and they buy a monthly plan from us. They choose how many cups of coffee to go out for in local coffee shops to get expert barista made coffee. They actually get this cup in the mail, and that is their exclusive coffee wallet. It's a reusable glass cup. And that cup has their own unique ID on the bottom of it. And with that cup, then, they go to any of the local coffee shops that are part of our network that they discover through our app and bring the cup in, hand it over to the barista, order their coffee, and they get their coffee filled from their subscription. So it actually gets redeemed from their subscription. So this way, they are subscribing and supporting exclusively local coffee shops and being 100% sustainable with their coffee habit along the way.
Oh, that's brilliant. Now, how long has this been going on? When did you start this?
So I got the idea before the pandemic, started doing some market research at that time, and then I ended up launching right in the middle of the pandemic. So it was in 2020. And people started signing up. I started with 5 local coffee shop partners. And since then, now we're a couple years in and we have 30 local coffee shops in the Cleveland and Akron areas. And we are planning on coming to Columbus this winter and opening here. So we're very excited to continue to bring our vision and our mission to Columbus.
Very exciting. What was it like starting something during the pandemic?
As probably with, you know, any businesses that are existing or that are starting, it was, it's always a challenge. But, you know, life always brings you different challenges, and it's a matter of how you navigate around them. So in our case, obviously, people weren't going out as much for coffee. They were starting to make it a little bit more at home. But despite all that, I think we as humans, we all have this social thread that's woven between all of us. And so people were still having that hunger to go out safely, perhaps, but still wanted to go out and meet other people. And it was just obviously too much for all of us to just be alone all the time, especially in those first few months. So by the time I launched, people were ready and people weren't afraid to go out. And also coffee shops, the ones that I signed up with, they weren't afraid either to accept reusables. So people started signing up and using our reusable mugs that were their coffee wallets in the different shops. And it kind of went from there. So
cool. Now, had you ever started something before?
Like my own company?
Yeah.
Not really. So before this, I was actually living in Spain and in England for like 6 years total. I was like 1 year in England and then 5 years in Spain. So when I was out there, I did my master's in Spain. And then after that, I was working for a consulting company, as well as actually 2 startups before and after then. I'm a first-time founder, but I realized that, when I got the idea, I realized like this is not an idea I can just let go of. It has too much potential. And I mean, it's very scalable. It can go into every major U.S. city and just unite the local coffee shop community and market. So it actually has strength against the big chains. We don't want people to default to Starbucks. We want them to exclusively support local, and like the better, more quality coffee is in local coffee shops. And generally, it's the same price, if not cheaper, than Starbucks. So why not just support local, keep money in your local communities? Your neighbor is probably the local coffee shop owner. So just keeping the money local is the point. And like every major city we go into, we're just repeating the same model, just in more cities.
Fantastic. What was the tipping point where you were like, I want to start something new?
What was the tipping point?
Yeah.
So when I mentioned, I was living in Spain. I was working, I was doing consulting work out there for global Fortune 500s. And then my husband and I, we decided to move back to the States. I quit my job over there. He ended up also eventually quitting and needing to find another job. So we started looking here. My parents are based in Cleveland, so we used their house as a home base as we were looking. And coming from Madrid, I always did honestly think, like, there's no way I'm going back to Cleveland, even though Cleveland very pleasantly changed for the better since I left. But I just thought, like, there's no way I'm coming back to Ohio. I mean, I want to go to D.C. or, like, one of the big cities, especially coming from a city like Madrid. And I guess long story short, my husband found a job. I ended up finding a job. It wasn't a good cultural fit. But what that one job really taught me, it basically gave me the courage to start my own company. So I had such a brilliant experience in Spain and in Europe working with just brilliant people around me and all these different companies. And being at the master's I was in, it's a top 10 business school in the world that I went to. So in my head, I was like, I just need to continue working in companies and being surrounded by people that are so much smarter than me so I can continue to learn from them. Basically, what I learned in that one experience that I mentioned was that maybe I'm not giving myself enough credit for how like smart I am and the skills that I have, whether it's leadership or otherwise. And if I had an idea, like a business idea, it really gave me courage to realize I could really do this. I mean, of course, I can go and work in companies and gain more knowledge from other brilliant people. But if I had an idea, I think I could do it and I should do it. And I just happened to get the idea for Cafelia 3 months after that. Coincidentally. So I wasn't looking to start my own company. I was probably looking at trying to get another job in some other company. But yeah, but here we are. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Now, just a quick question. Did you have any reverse culture shock when you came back to the U.S.?
I mean, I do really miss... I mean, somewhat, yes. I mean, I grew up in Cleveland, actually. My parents are from Serbia. They moved here like decades ago, of course, and I was born here. So I've always had that like European heart and soul to me. Serbian was my first language. So I've always had that like very European connection, even though I did grow up here. But coming back, of course, like there's some things you're really used to, like when you're living life in European culture. And I would say, like, for one, public transportation. I do really miss just having really, really awesome, clean, reliable public transportation that can get you anywhere without having a car. The first time I ever bought a car on my own was once me and my husband came back to the States, to Cleveland, and that was like 2017. So we as a married couple did not have a car for like 7 years. The whole time we were in Europe and with absolutely no problem. And if you need to rent sometimes on the weekends, we did. But otherwise, we went to work, we went out to dinners, we did everything with public transportation or taxi if you needed to. And it was great. So I miss that. I miss people being more social and like more just spontaneously getting together. I think people's schedules and life here is a little bit more rigid, but therefore I think they also end up feeling more lonely, honestly. There, people are just like spontaneously more social and get together, and it's just good for the soul, right? And I think me being Serbian as well, we're very passionate people and we love hospitality and we love getting together with people. So I would say like that's one thing I definitely miss, just getting together with people on a much more regular basis than like maybe every weekend or every other weekend or once a month. So,
oh, that's neat. And I can kind of see how that folds into Cafelia, of that social aspect of bringing people together, especially in a local place.
Yeah. Once I got the idea for Cafelia, I was wrestling with like whether I should continue it and actually pursue this idea or not. And I went back to Spain to visit some friends that year. And one of my friends, he does user design thinking. And so we did like a full exercise together where we went through and like did like Simon Sinek's golden circle, where you start with the why and then the how and the what. And we kind of ended up defining what that was for this concept that I had in my mind that obviously became Cafelia. And I remember when we got to the why, he's like, well, okay, we defined like the what and the how in a sense, even though we did that backwards technically. But he's like, well, what do you think the why is for this concept? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, I just wasn't sure. And he said, well, what is your personal why in like its simplest form? And so I told him, well, I mean, in its simplest form, I love people and I just love bringing them together. And so that really is my personal why. And as we had that conversation and as things developed in my head, I'm like, I thought, well, coffee actually has this magic of bringing people together all over the world. And then on top of it, local coffee shops, they play this huge part in bringing people together in communities, right? Mm-hmm. And really, if there's like one place in a town or a city that someone would say, like, what place brings community together? It's the local coffee shop. It's not the, I don't know, like the fire station or the rec center. You know, it's the local coffee shop that really spurs that community. And so that obviously led me eventually to giving this concept the name Cafelia. So do you want me to tell you what the...
Yeah, I am like on my seat here. Like, why the name?
Why Cafelia? So a few years ago when I moved back from Europe, I went to this like 3-month program. And that's where I learned a little bit more about... Actually, it was about, like, I learned, like, in the Bible, in the New Testament specifically, was written in Greek. And there's 4 words for the word love that are written there. And one of those words is phileo or philia. And this is, like, the brotherly kind of love, the friendship kind of love. And that's why, like, Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love, because of that root. So, and when I learned about these 4 words that mean love in Greek, the word philia or phileo, it really stuck close to me because, like, again, like I said, I'm that person that just loves to bring people together. I love friends and just creating that, like, joy and happiness from, like, these social interactions. And so I thought, oh, wait, this is perfect. I remember that word after I did this big, you know, design thinking exercise. And I thought, this is it. It's philia. That's what I thought it was going to be. This is perfect. Coffee brings people together. Local coffee shop owners bring people together. And now I'm going to bring people together in this way all over coffee. And I ended up adding eventually the Cafelia, the CA to it, just to kind of give it a subtle
coffee feel.
Yeah, like a little coffee cafe feel, but nothing like too obvious either. It's a completely invented word by me. But I love it. It's just like absolutely perfect in its roots and origin.
And one thing I really love is this whole sustainability aspect of what I've seen, just my own experience. I have reusable cups that I can take to the coffee shop, but I never do. And there's something really neat about the way that that's baked into your model.
Yeah, the way it's baked in is, like I said, it's like your redemption method, basically, or the key to accessing your subscription. That way, it really does, it helps you be sustainable, for better or for worse. It's easy. It's easy to be sustainable that way because you get your plan, you have your cup, you just bring your cup with you. If you forget your cup, honestly, like, there's no other way to redeem it. So it actually kind of forces you to be sustainable, but in a way that you need. And the punishment for you obviously not having your cup is like you just have to pay out of pocket for that coffee, when you do have technically a plan that you've like kind of uploaded money to, like how we have like a Starbucks app or whatever. But it's okay. I mean, next time you'll be like, darn it, like I gotta make sure I bring my cup next time. But yeah, for the most part, I mean, people bring their cups, and it truly is the most effective reinforcement loop for sustainable behavior that exists out there. So we've kind of married like 2 concepts together and brought supporting local and like having this like local coffee shops membership / subscription together with being completely sustainable with your coffee habit. And nothing like that exists in the whole market, the whole US market, perhaps even the world, to be honest.
Yeah. Now, and if you're listening, you haven't really described the cup, but it's a beautiful cup. Like it's just really nicely made. The QR code is kind of embedded in the glass in the bottom. But it's not just a glass. It's got a very comfortable
sleeve
around it that's kind of built into the cup along with the lid. Like it's just a really neat mug that you have.
When I started this and I was looking at what kind of cup to use, I was not keen on using like metal, or I guess metal is kind of the only, I guess you can do ceramic technically too, but I was just really into using glass because I have a personal thing. When I drink any drink, coffee, tea, like at home or otherwise, but like especially at home, or if I go over someone's house and they want to serve me coffee or tea, I actually want to see the cups they have and like pick a nice cup for my tea, because for me, it ruins the experience if it's in like some random like marketing cup from a company that they got for free. Like it has to be a nice cup. So I guess I took that concept with me as I decided on this cup, and I made it glass because I think it's beautiful to be able to actually see your drink. I think drinking it from a metal cup is, maybe there are very functional values there, like it keeps your drink hot like for the rest of the day if you really need it to be hot that long. But the glass, you can see your coffee, you can take it with you, you can set it there, and it's just, and also glass is like transparent, like our values that I like to say too. We want to make sure like we are known for supporting local and being sustainable. So yeah, and then the sleeve and the lid, they're both like a deep purple, like our brand colors, and it's a silicone, so there's no plastic involved. either in the cup. And we have like one size right now. Actually, our classic sizes are 12 ounce, and then we have a 16 ounce for all those iced coffee drinkers out there. But definitely the most popular has been the 12 ounce. And we don't have any other designs as of now. You know, it's nice when you kind of keep something classic and you make sure that gets etched into people's minds, but maybe one day we offer some other options. We don't know yet. Even though we're growing, this is a long journey and we're still a baby company. So,
oh, that's really awesome. And I love how you're growing. I'd love to hear what your plans are for launching in Columbus, because I'm here in Columbus. I've been a big fan of what you've been doing for a while, but Cleveland's always been too far of a drive for my morning cup of coffee. So what's happening in Columbus?
Yeah, so we just started coming down like a couple months ago, and I'm getting to know like the local coffee scene down here. So I feel like I'm getting like very familiar with Columbus, with like the 4 or 5 times I've been down here and visiting shops, meeting owners, meeting people in the community. We were actually at the Columbus Coffee Festival this year and last year, so we really got good insights. We took like a survey last year, like what is your favorite coffee shop you recommend in Columbus? And so we had like, I think over 300 responses on that, if not more. So we kind of started with that and, you know, the popularity of each shop, and just like in general, wanting to get to know all the different shops in the area. And yeah, I think as of today, I think we have about 6 or so committed already.
Wow. Neat.
And I'm in Columbus right now, actually meeting in person with you. But I just spent today as well meeting with a bunch of coffee shop owners. So our plan is to launch sometime this winter. We don't have a date yet, but we still have a bunch more shops that we plan on having join, and then just spreading the word to the public so they can become members. And the really cool part is like the more that we end up growing in more cities, like you as a member, a Cafelia member in Columbus, if you do ever come to Cleveland or Akron, you could just take your cup and your app and go and find like the best local coffee shops that are part of Cafelia in there and use your subscription when you're on the go. And like I said, the more we end up expanding, like if you're going to Austin or to Tampa or Atlanta or Miami for the weekend, you can do the same.
You just bring your cup along with you.
Right. And I think one of the biggest pain points of people, they say like when they go out into another city, many times they don't know where they go. And, you know, whenever you go out in another city anyway, it's like decision fatigue. Where are we going to eat? Where are we going to do this? Where are we going to get our coffee? And we want to at least solve the coffee part for people where they can just use their plan already and just find the best shop right through Cafelia.
It's fantastic. No, I relate to that, because when I travel, I'm always like pouring through reviews, being like, all right, which one is good? Where should I go? And having some of that guesswork taken out would be it.
Yeah. And Google Maps, like it does, I mean, it has everything on there, but that's the problem. It has like everything. And even if you type in local coffee shop, it doesn't give you just the local coffee shops. And I was in Pittsburgh like a month ago. I was in downtown Pittsburgh and I just wanted to find like, where are the local coffee shops? And I typed local coffee shop and I still got Starbucks and I got Dunkin' and I got the random diner that probably doesn't have good coffee and just like everything and anything. And so I want this to be like a curated network for people that love coffee, that love, like they appreciate already quality coffee and local coffee. They know like the best coffee is found in local places anyway.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I'm really excited. I can't wait for you to come. And an interesting side story. I met Alexandra a couple of years ago when you were launching Getting Your Idea Off. We spoke for a bit. Then I was at the coffee festival this summer. My friend Dominique Haddad, who runs GreenScope Consulting, she does a lot of work in the sustainability business. She comes over to me and she was like, hey, you have to check out this booth. They're called Cafelia. They're doing this neat thing. I'm like, oh, I remember that. And so it was fun coming over there and seeing you at the coffee festival.
Totally, yeah.
And reconnecting. So I'm really glad that we've had this chance to connect and record a podcast together.
And I remember the first time we connected, I think it was over, you were doing an initiative with Tiger Teas, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. And that must have been like 2-3 years ago at least. Yeah. So I thought it was really cool that you recognized me and Cafelia and that you came up. So thank you. Yeah.
Now, and you've been plugged into the social entrepreneurship community up in Cleveland, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned you had gone through Give Back Hack up there, which is a weekend launchpad for social enterprises. But then you've also been very connected with the coffee community.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of consider myself like the local coffee shop expert up there. Like, yeah, like of the market.
That sounds like such a cool title.
Well, I feel like, yeah, I always say the coffee shops, they are truly the coffee experts. We as a company, Cafele, like we never want to take that away from them. You know, we're just here connecting their kind of people to them, right? Like just bringing the two sides together. But coffee shop owners in general, they just don't have the time nor the need, honestly, to see what every other local coffee shop's doing. And so that's why I feel confident enough to say that I'm like the local coffee shop market expert, because I do get around quite a bit and I know what everyone's doing or what roasters they're using or, you know, just everything. So
you launched in 2020, you're 3 years in. How has this changed you as a person? How are you different today from where you were 3 years ago?
I mean, of course, starting any business, and especially in the beginning, there's obviously a lot of challenges and stress that come to it. So yeah, I've added more stress onto my life. But it's normal. If you want to build something, that's what it takes, right? How has it changed me? I don't know. I don't know how much I'm thinking. Like, I don't know how much the business has changed me more than like what I think has happened in the last two, three years or so. So I became a mom, like in this time.
That's a huge change.
Yeah, yeah. Like after about a year of launching, that's when I had my son. And I was like working up until like the last day. And I think I delivered him like 6 days earlier than his due date. And I was like, shoot, that's like one extra week I could have been working until this until this baby came. But like I would say that's what's been different. And that's what's really changed me as a person, because obviously you have to like, it's a huge adaptation in the beginning, huge change in your life. I would say like the first 3 to 6 months, like even though I thought like, yeah, I'm superwoman, I'm going to charge through this. And then you realize like you're dying from the lack of sleep. And you know, as a woman, you're feeding the baby and, you know, doing a lot. Like you're like a necessary part of that child's life. So I did have to slow down a little bit. He's 2 now and he's been awesome since he started sleeping through the night. Since I started sleeping through the night. And so things are great. But like when you ask that question, that's like what my head went towards. It's more been maybe that has like changed me. That's been the most significant change during this journey. So yeah, but it's a good change, of course. But in the beginning, it really sucked. So I'll be honest, it really did suck in the beginning. So
it's interesting. I actually know a number of women who are mothers who are trying to start new ventures. Do you have any advice for women in general who are launching social enterprises?
Just in general, make sure you get connected to like other enterprises and entrepreneurial services that can help you. Try to create a large network, I think, no matter where you are. Like, I mean, I was in Cleveland, but I'm sure, you know, every city has its own ecosystem that's maybe better or worse than the other one. I don't know. But just make sure you surround yourself with a lot of great people, like a lot of great minds. And I think this is like regardless of it being a man or woman. But yeah, the women side of things, maybe like in terms of if someone wants, they become a mom, just make sure you have a lot of support around you. I didn't really have that, but just make sure you have a lot of support behind like helping with the baby and all of that. So I think that's the best answer I can give.
No, it seems like something where you have to go through it to kind of experience it and see. Mm-hmm. And you can't really define what it's going to be like, because every family is different and mm-hmm. it is a big change.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
What's your vision for how Cafele is going to grow?
We want Cafele to be like the go-to brand for local coffee shops in every major U.S. city. That is our big vision, honestly. And I really do think that this is something that we can scale to like all major U.S. cities. Like I said, sometimes like if people are familiar with ClassPass, they do sometimes make that comparison. Oh, this is like the ClassPass for local coffee shops, right? Which is like a $1 billion company. And I think they got bought out by Mindbody. It absolutely has that scalability potential. And we'd like it to, you know, I have friends that live all over the US and even in other countries. And they're always like, the one from Arizona is like, oh, you should bring this to Phoenix. The one from New York's like, you should bring this to New York, then Portland, then Seattle, then like Chicago. Oh, this would be great in Atlanta. I'm like, I know. I just, if there's any investors out there, like I just need capital to like get it going and get that land grab and grow. So like, I have no doubt that it can be huge, just getting more resources and capital to grow this kind of a business. So yeah.
Well, I can't wait. one, I can't wait for you to launch in Columbus, and then I can't wait for it to be available. So as I travel, I can find all the great local coffee shops.
Totally. Yeah.
How do people find out about Caphelia, and how do they sign up?
So I know, like, in Cleveland, I can at least speak for. So obviously we partner with all the local coffee shops. They put like the announcements out, like when we launch our partnership. Sometimes they put posts up on their social media. We also have like display stands in our coffee shops that have the Caphelia cup on them. So that's kind of like a first point of contact, like in person, that they might see it. We also work with like some influencers, and like social media is really, especially like Instagram, and that's really where our target customer is. So we really try to capitalize on that, and different events, maybe pop-ups and different partnerships like that. So
okay. Where do people find you on social media?
They can find us on Instagram, Facebook, you know, TikTok, all of them. But Instagram is like our main source. So that's just like our handle is just Caphelia, C-A-F-I-L-I-A. So very easy.
Fantastic.
It wasn't even taken. It was such a unique word that we were able to grab it first.
Fantastic. And your website?
Our website is becaphelia.com. So that's B-E and then C-A-F-I-L-I-A.com.
Great. And so Instagram is the best place to go to see if there's something new launching in your city?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, totally. Also on our website, we do have the list of all of our coffee shops that we've been working with that have actually partnered with us, I should say, in Cleveland and Akron. And we'll continue to add more coffee shops to that list. Maybe even make it even more robust, maybe create a map or something. But it's on the website, but also we always have like most up-to-date announcements that come through Instagram and email too. So you can sign up for our newsletter on our website as well.
Well, thank you for joining us today and sharing what you've got going. If you're listening, you can find out more at Becaphelia. That's B-E-C-A-F-I-L-I-A.com. I'm getting a head nod that I got that right. Or at Caphelia on social media handles.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in Columbus, stay tuned for the launch in Columbus. We'll keep details up to date on our show notes at peoplehelpingpeople.world. And you can see them in the podcast links above.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on. And thanks for doing People Helping People.